Alhamdulillah.
Assalamu alaikum,
brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum, everyone. We thank Allah that you could join us today. Welcome to our Jummah here in Los Angeles, California. And I'm your imam for today, Muhammad Khabib. I want to say to everybody, Ramadan Mubarak, and go ahead and get us started in just a moment. We always thank Allah for blessing us with the Jummah, but especially during the Ramadan time when we're able to focus and keep our minds on the most important things in the Islamic religion. And one of the most important things in the Islamic religion is the month of fasting called Ramadan. It's the ninth month in the lunar calendar. And we're going to call the second adhan and go ahead and begin the Jummah prayer. Alhamdulillah.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an Muhammad Rasulullah. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله هيا للصلاة هيا للصلاة هيا للفلاة هيا للفلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله Alhamdulillah. Brothers and sisters, again, peace be unto you. And as we say that greeting in Arabic, it's Assalamu Alaikum. We're beginning the Jummah today with the official and authentic opening that Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and peace be upon him, always used to begin his Jummah. And it says in the Arabic, Inna alhamdulillahi nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa na'udhu billahi min sharuri anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlil fala hadiya lahu wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. And the translation goes as, Verily, praise be to Allah. We seek his help and his forgiveness. We seek refuge with Allah from the evil of our own souls and from our bad deeds. Whomsoever Allah guides will never be led astray. And whomsoever Allah leaves astray, no one can guide. I bear witness. There is nothing and no one will witness that Muhammad, the prayers and peace be upon him, is Allah's servant and his messenger. Brothers and sisters, welcome to our Jummah. And once again, we want to say to you, peace be unto you. Assalamu alaikum. And we also want to say to you, Ramadan Mubarak. That's the greeting that the Muslims give all over the world, welcoming each other to be aware and to be thankful and grateful to Allah for giving us a month where we can learn more about worship of Allah and be involved in controlling ourselves, learning to control ourselves in every way. And we thank Allah for his mercy and his forgiveness. We want to welcome you, and we ask that if you can hear me, please listen intently, but put your phone on mute, and so we won't get any background noises because we're recording the Jummah today, and we try to do that every week. But we are so happy because this month is full of blessings. It's just charged with blessings. You know, this is the month in which the Holy Quran, our book, the word of Allah, the divine guidance of Allah, correct and perfect guidance from Allah. This is the month that this guidance began to be revealed. It it was a book that was sent down, and the first five verses of the Holy Quran was revealed to our prophet Muhammad, the prayer of the peace be upon him. He is a mercy to all the worlds. He is a universal prophet. And I know his ethnicity or the place he was born, area he was born, was Arabia. So most people say he's just a prophet for the Arabs. Well, that's absolutely false. That's absolutely not true. He's a messenger for all mankind. He is the best human being that ever lived. He was so fit as a human being that Allah appointed him, commanded him, assigned him to lead the whole world in how to be a human being. Not the stuff you see on TV and the stuff they're talking about, the silly social workers or whatever, psychologists, psychiatrists. We're talking about humanity, how to be a perfect being that lives, dwells inside of the flesh that we call human. Some people like to call it an animal, but it's the highest form of any flesh on the earth, and it's so well-formed, so unique, is what I'm trying to say, so unique that we don't even refer to it, that flesh or that person, as an animal. We say that is a human being. So the highest order of flesh, because we were revealed words that would give us the highest order of mind, the highest order of consciousness, the highest order of feelings in our heart, the highest order of ability to be the best, to do the best, to think the best, to say the best. And the revelation that began to be revealed during this month of Ramadan, the very words, the exact perfect words of Allah to human being to make him the best and keep him the best. And if he practices it, he will always be guided rightly. All of the answers, that Almighty God wants the human being to know and to practice and to live in order to be living an excellent, the most excellent life on earth, those are the words of the Holy Quran, divine knowledge from the Creator, that if we take it on, if we study it, if we learn it, if we read it, if we practice it, we will be the highest order of people on the earth, and we're going to talk some about that today, inshallah. The Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and the peace be upon him, he is so high in that order. He's the highest that Allah has made for the creation and for mankind. He is so lofty in his character. It said of him, Uswatun Hasanatun, that he has the very best character. He's so high in that order of humanity. He's at the top of the order of people. He's so much that he is called not only the best human being, but he's called Khair Mursaleen, that he is the best of the best, that he is the best of all of the messengers. Mursaleen means messengers. So he's Khairu al-Mursaleen, that he is the best and getting better all the time. That's what it means. It means don't look for nothing else because he is the best. You found the best in the leadership of Prophet Muhammad, the prayer and the peace be upon him. Brothers and sisters, if you take on that mentality, that character, those ways, if you take on this knowledge, it will perfect you to such an extent, and it will make you so strong. It will make you so good. It will make you feel so good. You'll feel, for lack of a better expression, perfect. And you say, well, no one's perfect. Yeah, we know no one's perfect but Allah. The only one that's perfect is the Creator. We like to call the Creator Allah. That means all the perfect names, divine ways, the divine character, divine orders, all the divine attributes, names, all of those belong to Allah. And the Holy Quran tells us, so call on him by those names. So if we say the Most High, the Most Gracious, the All-Knowing, the All-Wise, the Perfect, the One who is everywhere all the time, he never gets tired, he sustains and cherishes us, he is most merciful, he's all-hearing, all-seeing, I mean, that's enough right there to get more than your attention. That's enough to save your life. But many of us, we make the error, we make the mistake of not thinking that Allah is who Allah is. If you read in the Holy Quran, you will see who Allah says he is, if you adore Allah, if you give your all your love to Allah, if you try to be right and do everything you can to please Allah and do what you're doing for Allah, Allah will reward you more than you can measure, more than anyone can measure. Allah will reward you, and he'll give you a blessing, and you'll start seeing yourself come into a new way, a new character. Even if you make a mistake, yes, no one is perfect. But even if you make a mistake, Allah tells you right in the Quran to ask his forgiveness. And don't be repeating that behavior. Just strive hard. If you make that mistake again, ask Allah to forgive you again. If you make that mistake again, ask Allah to forgive you again, and on and on and on. And then Allah is going to look at you, and he's going to see what your inclinations are, what your intentions are, what you really want to be and what you really want to do. And he's going to reward you for striving to be one of his really, really good servants, one of the ones who bow to him sincerely, one who has faith in Allah, unaltering, unchanging faith in Allah to the best of your ability. That's the first principle of our religion, is to have undying faith in Allah, to have sincere faith in Allah, to have strong faith in Allah. We call it Iman Allah, to have faith in Allah and to respect, highly regard his messenger, Muhammad, the one who, peace be upon him, who brought the information or the knowledge of how to have faith in Allah. That's the first principle of our religion. We don't worship Muhammad. He's the human being who received Allah's words. And we know other human beings received Allah's word. First of all, our father Adam, the father of all of us. All human beings are after Adam. Adam was the first. And so he was the first one who received Allah's divine words. When Allah made Adam, he just said, be. And then Adam became a living, the highest quality or kind of living soul. Highest quality of living soul. And Muhammad is one of his sons, just like I'm one of his sons. You're one of his sons. You're one of his children. Adam's children I'm talking about. We don't believe that the Creator has children. He makes people. He doesn't have a wife or a consort, they call it in the Quran, a wife. He doesn't have a wife. He makes people. Allah makes people. He has put into nature the ability for us to procreate. So we take our male of our species and our female of our species, come together in family, husband and wife, male, husband, female, wife. That never changes. That's nature. That's the very order of the creation of the earth. Male and female, that's the very order of the earth. But Allah gave us the soul, which lets us be able to go wherever we want to go. And so some people go astray. And so you find a man looking at another man, crazy way. Or you find a female looking at another female in a crazy way. Muslims don't do no nonsense like that. We don't try to alter our religion. We keep it just like Almighty God made it in the beginning. That's who we are. We're the Muslims. We don't have a so-called idea or a choice that we're gonna that makes us want to change the Creator's way of dealing. And Allah says he never changes his way of dealing. That's a verse in the Quran. Read your Quran and focus on the things that Allah is telling you, because everything in the Quran is the natural and the original way for us, the original way for social order, for the right culture, for the best people, the original way for man to go right. That's the guidance of the Creator. So look in that Quran and read it. The Quran says, La yatunika bi mathalin illa jitnaka bilhaqi wa ahsana tafsira. That the Holy Quran, in the Holy Quran, you'll find the truth. And Allah says, there's not a matter or a question, there's no concern that could come up that the Quran has not dealt with in truth, perfect truth, the real truth from the Creator himself. We don't ask people, what do you think about it? Allah don't ask people, what do you think about it? Allah reveals it when he orders it. That's how, exactly how it is. Allah says there's no matter that, except that Allah, there's no matter that a question in life, except that we have revealed it in the Quran. He has revealed it in the Quran. And the best explanation about that truth, the best way of seeing it, there might be 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 or 20 different ways of seeing it, but everything, every way that you look at it to see it is just another component that goes along with what the reality of that truth is. And Allah says, La yatunika bimathalin illa dinaka. There is no question or concern or thing in your head or in life or in creation that could come up except that Allah has dealt with it perfectly. And we should be very, very happy about that. Stay on the line, brother and sister. Don't hang up. I hope that we've got someone on the line that can speak to us. Is this Fala Khatib?
Yes, I am.
Good. Walaikum as-salam. You're right in time. Thank you. Alhamdulillah. So Allah has revealed. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for being patient. We have callers that call in for Jumu'ah, and I'm very, very happy that one of our callers was able to get in on an alternate line because there's something wrong with some of the lines around the area. But alhamdulillah that he's smart and got that done. And that's the other thing we're talking about, brothers and sisters. This Holy Quran, the knowledge that Allah has in the Holy Quran, his own words, when applied to the human being, will exalt you, will raise you up, just like it did Prophet Muhammad, the present of peace be upon him. He's the highest human being that ever received the Creator's word, and he's the human being that showed exactly how to live it. And in his mission, he did everything better than any other prophet, any other messenger, peace be upon all of them. And that's why he's called Khairul Mursaleen, the best of all of the messengers, as we were explaining earlier. We thank Allah for this guidance because this guidance will lead you to perfection. It'll lead you to health. It'll lead you to, in fact, one of the verses in the Quran says that in it, not only is it a guidance, but it's also healing. It's also healing. It's a guide and a healing. It's also a mercy for you. And this knowledge doesn't leave out anything, big or small. It's inexhaustible knowledge. It's knowledge that will feed you, and you will keep coming into a greater and a greater and a better and a stronger and a brighter and a more intelligent and a more illuminated existence. You will come into a better life is what I'm saying. You will come into a better life, and that's what we want. Allah is not asking you, can he do what he wants with a good person? That's what he does with good people is he elevates them. He raises them. He makes them leaders. He makes them observable. And people look at you and they see that shine on you. They see it inside. They'll see it outside because Allah says of this Holy Quran that this knowledge is so powerful that it makes your heart and your skin better. It makes your heart better, makes your soul better, your humanity better, your feelings better, your thinking better, your emotions better, your sentiments better. Makes all of that better, sentiments, makes it better. And that illumination and that good feeling, that peace of mind that you get, you know, the name of our whole religion is peace. Those who submit to the will of Almighty God, and because we submit to the will of Almighty God, Allah, because we submit to his will, and there is no other God besides Allah, but because we submit to his will, then he rewards us with peace. We're called the Muslims. It means those who surrender to the will of the Creator, and because we surrender to the will of the Creator, he gives us a peace that nobody else on the earth can get. As a group, no one is more peaceful than us. As a group, and there's 2,000 million of us, 2 billion. 2 billion, which is the same as 2,000 million. No one else is more sincere than us. No one else will stick their neck out for you like a Muslim. No one else is thinking, how can I make life better, not just for me, not just for my family. How can I make life better for the whole world? Allah says it right in the Quran, Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat lil nas. Ta'maruna bil ma'ruf wa tanhauna 'anil munkar wa tu'minuna billah. That says that you are the best people evolved or brought out or brought forward for the benefit of all mankind. For the benefit of all mankind. You are a community or a human group that is better than all of the other people on the planet. And you are not a selfish person with that. You know, most people, they get a little something, or they, especially if they get a big something, they close up. They don't care about you. Some of them are only big because they've been walking on you. I heard an old saying that says that the rich stand on their heads or stand on their backs or raise up on the backs of the poor. We're not selfish. We're trying to present ourselves in such a way and be an example of how to live a better life so that the whole world will want to be like that. The whole world can find its way back from confusion. We'll have less confusion. Come back to order from disorder. Come back to good sense from foolishness. When you look around in the society, don't you see this wall-to-wall foolishness? I was reading the news today. Some people got a ride with the rideshare guy. They own the rideshare guy. They shoot the rideshare guy and then takes the rideshare truck and drive off. Craziness all over the place. Just stupid. Another guy sitting in a Bible study with his wife and her family for something to her. I guess he's saying, "You gonna get back with me?" And she shook her head in the article I was reading. She shook her head no, and he started stabbing her, killed her right there. Well, she died at the hospital, but he was killing her right there in front of her family and friends at a Bible study. So I don't care about what other people say. Allah says, "Well, thou amina ahlal kitab la kana khayra lahum minhum al-mu'minun wa aktharuhum al-fasiqun." That the other people, speaking of, it says the people of the book, ahlal kitab, people of the book, other people, people of the book called the Jews and the Christians. It says, of them are some who believe in Allah, but most of them are perverted transgressors. Those are a couple of examples right there. I bet you if you ask those guys that were involved in that craziness and that crime and sin, are you a Christian? Do you believe in Jesus? He'll say, yeah. I'm here to tell you they don't even know the real Jesus. One of my family members is telling me that a guy said those Muslims are saying bad things about Muslims. I said, if he knew the reality of Muslims, he would be one. If he knew the reality of what Muslims live and what Muslims are offered by Allah and will give what Allah will give to us as a reward for our good deeds, he would be a Muslim. That guy would be a Muslim if he knew what a Muslim is. He don't know nothing about Jesus. They don't know nothing about Jesus. Jesus is a Muslim. Jesus is a Muslim because Muslim means one who believes in Almighty God Allah and will give up what they want to do for doing what Allah wants them to do. They'll surrender themselves. They'll surrender their will. They'll surrender their choices and put their choices aside and go with what Allah says. What does Allah say? It's right in the Holy Quran. And as we were mentioning before, this is a month, Ramadan, in which the Holy Quran began to be revealed. The first five verses were revealed to Prophet Muhammad, the prayers of peace be upon him, during the month of Ramadan, on a night called the Night of Power. And we Muslims, we study, we want to show Allah that we are so happy, so pleased, want to get this gigantic blessing that's bigger than any blessing in the creation, bigger than any blessing on earth, which is to receive Allah's love, receive Allah's mercy, receive Allah's forgiveness, receive Allah's help, receive the victory that Allah promised to his best people. So the Jews and the Christians say that they believe in Almighty God and his beloved, but as a group, they are not as united as the Muslims. They are not as prayerful as the Muslims. We pray five times a day. That's ordered for every Muslim. If you don't pray and you don't want to pray, you got a major, major problem, and you're not going to get blessed. The highest blessings, we wash and we're clean more than anybody else on the earth. I'm talking about our flesh. We wash ourselves. We wash before we make the prayers, and we make five obligatory or organized, commanded prayers every day. As a group, all of the Muslims stop what they're doing And they pray, they turn towards Mecca, towards, we're not praying to Mecca, we're praying to the house of Almighty God Allah that is in Mecca that began to be built by the prophets Abraham and his son Ishmael, peace be upon them. And it continues to be improved upon, or has been continued to be improved upon during through the years. And that house is thousands of years old, okay? First house of worship dedicated to monotheism. And it is said in our history that Adam had a house that was dedicated to monotheism. That means belief in one God, belief in Allah. Adam didn't call the rock God or the sun or the stars or the water or the trees around him or the earth that he was made out of. He didn't call that the creator. He called on the one who really made him and everything else. And him being the most and the first of the most intelligent beings, the first intelligent, truly intelligent mind being, he recognized that everything around him wasn't nothing compared to what happened to him by being created by the creator. Come on now. As a group, we're the cleanest people. We watch and we turn towards that building that's thousands of years old, and all over the earth, the Muslims raise their hands and say, Allahu Akbar, that Allah is greater and more important than anything. We make our prayers five times a day. Every time we make a prayer, that's the direction we face. It's been given to us in the Holy Quran that is the direction. The Prophet, peace be upon him, used to pray to the heavens, it said in the Quran. He used to raise his hand like people do today. They praying up in the sky. We don't pray in no sky. That means they're doing something. They've been doing the same wrong for hundreds and even thousands of years if they're praying up to the sky, talking about heaven is up in the sky, and they think they can walk around on the clouds. If you're intelligent and scientific, you know that clouds are nothing but water mist. Nothing but water mist. If they get thick enough, then it comes down in rain. That water comes down in rain. But if it's not thick enough, it'll be like a little fog or a little spray, and it won't be big, gigantic clouds. Rain clouds are serious. Big clouds, big and fluffy, usually dark clouds. And sometimes there's thunder and lightning in those dark clouds. And they send down a torrential rain, a lot of rain at the same time, causing floods and stuff, you know. So Allah gave Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and the peace be upon him, the direction that all of the Muslims are going to face forever. From now on, as long as Muslims are on this earth, we will be facing the direction of the Kaaba. And the direction, no matter where you are on the earth, your direction is to face the house itself, the building itself, called the Kaaba, the house itself. And that direction is called, we have a name for it, it's called a Qibla. Qibla. So when we stand, we use the Qibla, that means turn to the direction of the sacred house called the Kaaba. The house is called the Kaaba. And we stand in that Qibla and we turn right towards the Kaaba no matter where we are on earth. So if you're north of the Kaaba, then you got to face south. Then you got to face west. You get it? If you're in the south of the Kaaba, you got to face north. And on and on and on. But everybody on earth, look at that organization. Look at that unity. Everybody on earth has to face that building when we pray. The only reason you don't have to face that building when you pray is you don't know which direction it is. And Allah forgives you for that. Allah forgives you for that. Look how merciful our Creator is. So we're the most guided people. We're the cleanest people. We wash. We wash and keep ourselves clean for prayer. And all of these things are symbols of purity. We want to have the right, perfect direction. Isn't that beautiful? You're not in confusion about the direction. We wash so we can be physically clean, but all these things are symbolic of being psychologically clean, being psychologically right, being psychologically exact in our minds, in our intentions. Before we do anything, we make intentions. Oh, Almighty God, it is my intention Oh, Allah, it is my intention to do this, to make my prayers. It's my intention to call the adhan. That's the sound we make, almost like a song. It's very loud because we're calling people to the worship of the one true creator. And we want everybody who is within a ear, shot they call it, or ear, hearing, within hearing, we want them to know it's time for prayer. And we call that adhan, that sound, Allahu Akbar. We make that sound, it's a little longer than that, but I'm just giving you an example, so that everybody that's in the area stop what they're doing. And in a Muslim country, everybody stop what they're doing and they go to prayer. They stop what they're doing and they go to prayer. Nobody feels like they're bigger or more important than Allah. We have a saying, it says, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. That means that Allah is greater and more important than anything or anyone, any time, any place, all time, forever. And when you say that, you're reminding yourself of the importance of your creator who made you. That's why you're important, because Allah does, the Quran says he's always busy in a very important work. Always busy in an important work. But the Holy Quran also says he does not tire. He does not get sleepy. He does not take a break or need rest. That shows you the superiority of just some of the things that we're telling you about Allah. Just some of the things. Because you got people who will tell you right now, I believe in so-and-so, and I believe in this God. I believe in that God. Then they'll tell you that their God takes a rest, that their God gets tired, that their God gets sad, that their God kills himself or something on some kind of pledge to make people better if his blood gets on them. That if they believe in his blood or if they believe that he died for their sins, then the world's better off. Well, I want to ask you, could it be possible that the world, as you see, as you look around, as you read the news, as you think, as you hear people and even songs and stuff, as you hear about people and some of the things they do, sins and crimes, how can the world be better off when they say that Jesus died for them 2,000 years ago, which he didn't? Allah says he never was crucified. He never was murdered. He never was hung up. Isn't that something? A lie so powerful. Allah said in the Quran, such lies shake the consciousness. It says shake the earth. It does shake the earth, because the earth also runs by people's consciousness, and if all of them is fools, the earth has got a fool problem. Not the physical ground, but the operation, the daily operation of mankind or of that society. And I'm here to tell you that if they say he died for their sins, then I'm not making a joke, but it seems like he died for nothing. He absolutely died for nothing, because look at all the sin and crime. They eagerly, that means they're just so happy to do it and rushing toward it. Allah says in the Quran, they rush towards sin. He died for nothing then, because they haven't stopped sinning. I've seen some of the worst criminals that you can find, and they'll have a big old, what they call is a symbol of Jesus, or a symbol of Jesus' death, they claim, on their chest or arm or whatever. And he shoots people, poisons people with drugs. Some countries claim to be big, big Catholics, big, big Christians. And they're well known to be the worst criminals, the worst population, the worst society, worst cult or whatever, on the earth, on the planet. You know it. And another ironic thing, or weird and contradictory thing, is that the Pope lives among some cults in his country that are the worst criminals and syndicates and mafias on the planet. Mm-hmm. Claims to be so holy, and the bells are just ringing, ding, ding, dong, when the hour changes or whatever. But look at the crime and the sin and the dope. The drugs that come out of there. So don't beat up Mexico. Well, let me start with China. China sends them the ingredients for the dope, called fentanyl, and then the Mexicans are involved in receiving it and processing it and sneaking it over across our border here. Yeah, all over the world, some of the biggest criminals, the biggest part of the criminals lives in that 75% of the world that's not Muslims. They occupy a mindset. That 75% occupies a mindset, lives in a mindset, commit their crimes and sins and disgrace out of that mindset or with that mindset that the other 25%, us, will never do as a group, never be tolerated as a group. Allah tells us to stand up against the ones who will not stop doing crime and sin. So we'll stand up against ourselves first and make an example for the rest of the world that you should stand up among, stand up against the evil that's among you. Don't tolerate it. Don't be known to tolerate it. Sometimes all you can do is talk about it because they got weapons. I saw a guy on TV yesterday, and he said, it's not the ballot, it's the bullet. I thought about it, and I say, "Who? What is he talking about? He claims to be a Muslim. I said, what is he talking about? He's trying to tell me he's got more bullets than the wrongdoers? He's got more bullets than the Western society that claims that they follow Jesus? No, they got more bullets, more grenades, more rockets, more mortars, more tanks, more airplanes, more submarines, more ships. They got all that, more men, more sidearms, more poison gas. The bullies got all that stuff. That's for killing people and enslaving people with. Beat them into submission. That's what they're doing. Beat you into submission. But the Muslim will never surrender our minds, our souls to them. No. Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and the peace be upon him, wasn't sent with weapons. He was sent with the word. All of the prophets were sent with the word of Almighty God so that that word of Almighty God, Allah, could change the whole world, and eventually it did in every population that those messengers of Allah were sent to. And it's happening here too. Yeah. There used to not be a single masjid. Sometimes they call them mosques. There used to not be a single masjid or a single, sometimes they call them temple, where Muslims were that preached the truth about Almighty God, Allah. But now, in just, this country's only 200 years old, and the biggest group of Muslims, their community, our community, is only, it's not even 50 years old yet. But here in America, Muslims have, combined with our community, of the, we're like the indigenous, or we like call ourselves original. We're the indigenous, we're the American-born Muslims. We converted to al-Islam over here because we were forced into Christianity and ran away from the slavery and evil and got into Christianity hoping it would save us. But anyway, now there's over 2,000 masjids, 2,000 mosques, 2,000 masjids in America. In America, there's over 2,000 in less than 200 years. And I would say probably in less than the last 100 years for sure. In the last 100 years, but probably within the last 60 or 70 years, those masjids, those centers have multiplied by the hundreds. And sometimes you yourself know as Muslims, you'll get information and solicitation from Muslims that say, we're trying to build a masjid in Arkansas. We're trying to build a masjid in Massachusetts. We're trying to build a masjid Illinois. So please donate. Donate generously. And people reach deep in their pocket, and they'll send the masjid $20, $25, $50, or whatever. And the next thing you know, those masjids and the banks know how solid the Muslims are. So sometimes we get money from banks, but most of the time that money comes right out of the Muslims' hands. And we have Muslim banks too, so. And they don't charge you interest. You don't have to pay back with any interest, Muslim banks. It's illegal. It's illegal. The things that this country loves to do, all kind of stuff that they do to get their money, all kind of stuff they do to get their power, the Muslims don't live like that. We're not a police force. And that's what I was going to say earlier. Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, didn't come with the weapons. The solid, pure powerful, all-powerful words of Almighty God, Allah, the creator of the heavens and the earth. And these words will change. You've heard the old saying, thoughts are things. Well, if thoughts are things, and this society was smart enough to know that, then what about divine thoughts in the human being? If you take the divine thoughts that's in the Holy Quran and apply them to your thinking and into your daily life, you will see yourself pass other people like a rocket passes something standing still, like a jet passes something standing still. You'll be going at the speed not just of gas engines and all that. You'll be moving at the speed of light. You'll be moving at the speed of divine consciousness. You'll be moving at the speed of light, of knowledge, understanding, wisdom. Allah says the Holy Quran, one of its names is the wisdom book. Its other name is the book of knowledge. Its other name is the book of mercy to you, the book of guidance to you, the book of appropriate action. It comes against sin and corruption. Book of purity, that's the word I'm looking for. So, brothers and sisters, you see how we, just from this one talk, have you been to a lecture at a college or high school where you heard them talking about what we're talking about right now? No, you haven't. I already know. Do you hear them talking like we talk in the street? No. We have our own pure language. We have our own good intention. And this is happening all over the earth. So can you see 25%? Well, let's look at it like this. Take four people and one of them talks right all the time. All the time, and you know what they're going to say. Man, every time I hear you talking about something, they should say something that makes sense. But they're so corrupt and poisoned and in the dark and ignorance and stuff that they'll say, man, every time I hear you, you're always talking about something. I'm tired of you. See, some of them will fight you for standing up for what's right. Don't you know it's the prophets who were dying and who were chased and who were set up and who were kidnapped and who were in all kind of ways abused because of what they were saying? Abraham's father told his own son, the prophet Abraham, peace be upon him, he said, Abraham, you got to stop talking against our gods. He said, if you don't, you hate our gods, Abraham, if you don't get away from me for a good long time, he said, I'll have you stoned to death. We'll stone you to death, talking to his own son, because his son didn't believe in worshiping the statues, the stones, the wood, the idols, the pictures. Moses, in his Ten Commandments, peace be upon him, the first thing he said was, the Lord thy God is one. Thou shalt have no gods before him. Almighty God Allah is the one God. He needs no partners. He has no partners. The worst thing you can do is say Allah has a partner, and I'm going to worship his partner. He has no partners, not male, not female, not man, not woman, not old, not young, not animal, not plant, not celestial body, not the moon, not the stars, not the sun. Allah is almighty, and he's one. We don't worship anyone. We don't bow down to anyone except Allah. You can't see Allah. Look how powerful that is for conditioning your mind and conditioning your psyche to believe in and to manage yourself, control yourself for the unseen being. Your mind going to get powerful and more powerful because you will control yourself for somebody you can't even see. You will have a fear of losing the love of someone you can't even see, and you feel that love pouring into your life. You feel that guidance pouring into your life. You feel like you know more which way you're going than anybody you look around and see. And we are a proof. You are a sign or a proof in your own self that Allah's guidance, if followed, will give you better direction than anybody you look around and see. Anywhere you go, I don't care if it's PhD, I don't care if it's MD, I don't care if it's whatever, so-called learned man. Oh, we don't even want to talk about the Muslim learned man. Yes, we do. But Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that the Muslim learned man is harder on the devil. See, the PhD, he's trying to show you, you know, the earth, the rocks, the trees, the water. He's trying to show you about the how society should be ordered. The juris doctor, he's trying to tell you what the order of man's law is and how you should follow it. And here's what we've cooked up for you to follow. And if you don't do it this way, we're going to put you in jail and all that stuff. But what about the Muslim learned man who follows Almighty God to the extent that he is 1,000 times more well-guided, so much so that he even knows how to beat down the devil? That's what you want. That's what you want. That's what you want, and that's what you need. We need a people that are so strong that one person out of that group of four, or as we said, 25% of the earth, is better than the other 75% of the earth. Because you've got people in that 75% of the earth, they worship snakes. They worship, you know, lions, eagles, add an eagle on their flag or whatever. They worship men. They worship women. They worship their generals, their presidents, emperors. Yeah, the calendar is named after Julius Caesar. You know that? The Julian calendar, which they changed the name of. They put some other stuff in there, other months in there, and they changed the name of it to the Gregorian calendar, named after a pope named Gregory. That's the calendar that everybody goes by in this society. Muslims, we have our own calendar. You can have your own calendar. You can make up your own calendar if you want to. If you get powerful enough, people will follow it. The Chinese got their calendar. The Jews got a calendar. Other people got calendars. What is it? Not Lithuania. One of those Baltic countries, I think, got their own calendar. But the day that Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam arrived in Medina after he was chased out of Mecca, that's the day that our calendar was put in order. And the Muslims, we have our own calendar. There's nothing corrupt in our calendar. There's no lions and tigers. There's no dragons. There's no snakes. There's no monkeys. There's no dogs. Some countries, you know, they go by the year of the dog, year of the tiger, year of the rat. We don't have no filthy animals in our religion. The human being got enough responsibility keeping himself clean, keeping his mind clean, keeping his ways clean, keeping his hands clean, keeping his whole body clean. Clean up and report to prayer. They stay dirty and go and work for the devil. That's what the unbelievers do. Brothers and sisters, we got a lot more to talk about. We're going to go into the second half of the Jummah. And the Jummah is our Friday meeting, the congregational meeting, large meeting all over the earth. All the Muslims stop what they're doing. All of the Muslims on Friday stop what they're doing, and they come to their local area to have a meeting. All it takes is three of them, but in some areas they might be 100,000 or 200,000. If they're at the Kaaba, there's over 1 million people that can be there at the same time. Brothers and sisters, we're going to go into the second part of the talk, and then we'll come right back. Don't hang up. Alhamdulillah. That means praise be to Allah. Alhamdulillah. Praise be to Allah. Assalamu alaikum. That means peace be unto you, the peace be upon you. Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala al-khair mursaleen Muhammad ibn Abdullah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. We just started the second part of the talk with that purifying statement. And that statement says, praise be to Allah, and peace and blessings be upon his Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and the peace be upon him. He is and his family and his companions, he is the best of all of the prophets. He is better than all of the messengers in the success of his mission and in the purity that Allah blessed him with and the status that he's been given as a human being. So prayers be upon him and his family and his companions and all of the believers the world over. Ameen. Allahu Akbar. That means Allah is greater and more important than anything. We often say that. We often say that. So let us be grateful to Allah during this month of Ramadan. We know that during this month of Ramadan, the Quran, as I mentioned earlier, began to be revealed. The first five verses of the Holy Quran began to be revealed, and it was continued to be revealed over the next 23 years, 20, 22, 23 years. And we are grateful to Allah that we got this book, because this book has all of the answers in it. If I gave you a book and each page showed you where certain money was stashed, oh, you'd be going ape. Excuse me. You'd be going ape. You'd be turning that page, and then after a while you get tired. You have to have you some help. You say, I can give you this if you help me find the rest of this money. Here, look at this. Oh, there's someone with such a. Go get in your car. Go over there. So, but this is a book that has all of the divine truths in it, and how to live your life in such a way that and feed your mind and your spirit in such a way that you will have greater success, the greatest success in every single thing that you do. You will know the answers to thoughts that people 1,000 years from now will not even have evolved to the point to where they can think what you think right now. But maybe you don't appreciate it because it doesn't follow the crowd. See, if we see ourselves doing something and the crowd is pleased with us or our friends are pleased with us, then we feel more comfortable. We feel like we fit in. You don't want to be fitting in with these fools and these criminals and hypocrites and devils who are making for you liquors that enrich themselves but poison you, drugs that enrich themselves but poison you, guns and weapons that are made for nothing but killing people, and you living in a society that worships those guns. Mm-hmm. They make money off of that. This is a society that lets you wear whatever you want to wear so that you look like a hyena or something, a wild, savage, insane, freak thing. Well, I don't want that for you. You don't want that for you. It's the devil that wants man to look so stupid after Allah made man such a wonderful creature, such a wonderful being. Man has the potential, and it was the intention of Allah for us to be the highest beings walking the earth. But Allah says if you don't follow his guidance, you'll become the lowest of the low. I hope we said some things here today that are convincing for you. But Muslims, we're unified in strength. We're unified in doing what's right. Allah says we're the people who invite to. I didn't finish saying that from that verse I gave earlier. But Allah wants us to be the people who call to what is right, invite to what is right, and forbid what is wrong, and believe, keep believing in Allah. That's that 25% of us. That's what we do. We tell the whole world, print it, say it. If we're strong enough, powerful enough physically, we'll stop them physically, you know, break up a fight. If it's worth it, it's not worth your life to break up a fight when you know a guy's got a gun and a knife or something. No, but just tell them, hey, man, or sometimes you can make an interruption. The other day they was acting crazy and cussing and fighting. I just humped the horn, and it distracted them so that evil couldn't continue to flow. As long as that evil was in their veins and flowing and that they was having that fit, they was just, hitting each other. Ooh, ooh. And I honked the horn, blew the horn just steadily. I was close to them, honked that horn, and it distracted them. Isn't that something? Distracted them, disturbed their foolishness, and they stopped fighting. Now I rolled down the window. I was about to drive off. I rolled down the window. I said, hey, y'all know better than that. And kept on driving. And when I looked back, as far as I could see, they weren't fighting again. So we have to put together common sense strategies and, above all, the commands of Allah to bring out the best, bring forth the best solutions for the world's problem. Our whole religion is a solution for the world, a solution for the earth. Quran has all the answers in it. So if you had a book that had all the answers in it, all of the answers, all of the most important things your mind could possibly think or want or whatever, don't say money. You know how many fools money has taken away? I don't care if it was gold or silver, paper, it burned up. Brothers and sisters, let us not be an idiot. You know what people will do for money? But the believers, we want to be so strong in our love for Allah. The Holy Quran says we have to get to where we're overflowing in our love for Allah. Our 25% of the world will have an influence on the other 75% of the world. We're not worshiping no weird, freaky creature that somebody dreamed up and it's got six arms and the head of an elephant or a lion or something. We're not letting no cows walk in our living room and poop all over the place. We're not taking baths in the rivers and stuff like the Ganges River, where the people over there, Ganges River, where people over there also bury their dead, burn their dead, and the ashes fall into the water. Filthy, filthy place. Filthy, huge river, but it's filthy because they do some nasty stuff over there. Muslims are the opposite. And our way of, that's why they want to run Muslims out of India, because the Muslims are disturbing their foolishness, disturbing Shaitan, eating them alive. That, you know, Shaitan is the ultimate cannibal, you know. He's a cannibal. You know, they say, oh, no, you're talking about Dracula. No, I'm talking about Shaitan, I'm talking about the devil that inspires people to think and act out ideas. And so they come up with Dracula because that's what Shaitan does, is he devours you. I think in the Bible there's a verse that said they asked the devil, where was he going? And he said, I go to and fro so I can eat up people. I think the word they use, devour. Going to and fro in the land, devouring whomsoever I may. So he want to devour you, eat you up. If he gets you to worship false gods or worship anything besides Allah, he just bit you. He just hurt you. He just injured you. Brothers and sisters, let us wake up. Let us wake up and let us be that strong man who gets the knowledge that's so powerful, the devil can't take him down. The devil can't take him out. Allah sends angels with you. Allah sends angels to help you. Allah sends angels. The strongest beings besides Allah are angels. Allah sends angels to protect you. And when I say the strongest being, I'm talking about good being. I'm not talking about the devil. He's strong too. But Allah says his strategies, his thinking is weak. He's weak in the mind. He's weak in his strategy and his scheme. So that's why he can be defeated, because the Holy Quran will make you a gazillion times smarter than the devil. And you'll be using holiness. You'll be using righteousness. You'll be using goodness to defeat the devil. Yeah. Yeah. And Allah will make it easy for you, because Allah says when you become his friend, when you become his friend, there's a verse in the Holy Quran, call us the friends of Allah. Allah says when you become his friends, his beloved, he says he becomes the hand that you strike with. He becomes the foot that you walk with. He becomes the thinking that you have. So your mind, your thinking are the highest thoughts, the highest thoughts in the creation, divine mentality, divine thinking. You always thinking right, and you thinking the best right, the highest right, the greatest right, the goodness, the happiness, the joy. You make people feel good. They love being around you. They feel like they can trust you, like they can respect you, like you really mean something, and that you're a bright light in that darkness and that madness and that sin and corruption that they're walking around in. They have been misled by liars who follow the devil and tell them they're doing all kind of crazy, backward, unnatural, and hypocritical things are okay. Shaitan fools them. He feeds them false promises, lies, superstition. Yeah, superstition, lies, makes them up false religions, false scriptures, and that's what they follow, and that's why their religion can be taken over by corruption, and you'll see them doing corruption even though they claim that they're followers of the Bible. But whose name is in that Bible? King James is in that Bible. The Pope's making your copying scripting and changing and editing. That's the word I was looking for. Editing your Bible. But they're not editing the Quran. It is a crime to alter the Quran, brothers and sisters. If you're anywhere where a Muslim can get you, you're going to get got. You're going to be in big trouble. So may Allah bless us and have mercy upon us. And I want to say to you, Ramadan Mubarak, for your reading. Show your appreciation to Allah for giving us this guidance, the Holy Quran. Show your appreciation to Allah for giving us Prophet Muhammad, the prayers of peace be upon him, who was called the Quran in the flesh, the Quran walking. That's how much he was made of the scripture that we study, that we're speaking from right now. I'm talking to you words from the Holy Quran. I'm talking to you thinking from the Holy Quran. I'm talking to you a mindset that's in the Holy Quran. And it has changed the earthly stuff that the society that we're made of, but that the society wants to try to control because they're corrupted by the devil. And he's got them just doing their own thing and doing anything they want to do, and everything they want to do is something that gets them in trouble or gets them killed. So, brothers and sisters, appreciate the Quran. All this month we're going to be fasting, and we're going to read 1/30 of the Holy Quran every day. All this month we're going to fast. We're not going to eat. We're going to deny ourselves so we can get control of ourselves again. And we go out during this period, since we're not eating, we go out and we give to the poor. We show the poor that we got the strength not to eat, but to come out and do things that they can't do when they even eat and drink and have all their fun. They can't, when we should be the ones that are in pain and suffering and can't act right because we're on purpose denying ourselves food and drink. We also don't take up time with our mate romantically during the daytime during the month of Ramadan. All we're doing in the month of Ramadan is reading our Holy Quran. We're fasting. We get up before the sun comes up, and we eat a little light meal, and we make our prayers, and we make our intentions, and we go ahead and start the fast, and we don't eat anything all day. We're going to read our 1/30 of the Holy Quran every day. We're going to keep down the noise. We're going to turn the TV off, and we're going to go out and try to show people what it means to be a Muslim, what it means to be a good person, an excellent, excellent, excellent person. That's what we're going to do. And we're going to thank Allah. We're going to make extra prayers. We're going to make our 5 daily prayers on time, and we're going to thank Allah for helping us. Thank Allah for guiding us. And we're going to give in charity. We're going to feed the poor. We're going to look around with this nice, clean, clear, intelligent mind that we have that's well-balanced and the smartest on the planet. And we're going to see the things that need to be fixed in humanity, and we're going to talk about it. We're going to write about it. We're going to do something about it. We're going to give money to influence things and to make our community grow better and to make our schools work and to make our centers grow. We're going to donate to the masjids. We're going to donate to the schools. Our great leader, Imam Deputy Muhammad, our great leader, Imam Deputy Muhammad, may Allah be pleased with him, he says, try to build a school. He didn't put a lot of emphasis on building a masjid. He said, try to build a school, try to have a school. And if you can't build one physically, then meet, have Saturday school, have something that continues to give people ideas and give them mainly, when I say ideas, I mean the truth about our way of living. And you'll see their mind come alive more and more and more. Next thing you know, you got your school. Next thing you know, you got your masjid, because the thinking people, the successful people, which will be, we are the successful people. The successful people are going to get the ideas on how to bring get righteous money, build righteous businesses, do the righteous things. If you got a few people with that kind of mind, and they can inspire, if Allah says one of you can inspire 3 more, if your 25% of the earth's population has the power to inspire and influence the other 75%, that's our job. Allah says, you are the best people evolved or made for the benefit of mankind, enjoining what is right, forbidding what is wrong, and believing in Allah. And don't worry about the detractors. Don't worry about the people that talk about you. Don't worry about the people that try to rob you, steal from you. Allah's going to take care of them. He's going to give you the power to push their thinking out of the way. That's why the TV is going all the time. That's why they're making the movies and the songs, to try to push our good thinking down, down, down to lowest levels possible, so we won't be able to be righteous. We won't be able to stand up in the face of evil. Brothers and sisters, we're going to close. I hope we gave you something to think about. Ramadan's a whole month, and this is the first couple of days. And so we're going to have every week, got 3 more weeks, three more weeks during Ramadan to influence you with Islamic information, Islamic truth, the real truth. And we're going to close the Jummah up with a couple of statements that we close the Jummahs up with. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Inna Allaha wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. That means Allah and his angels do salute Muhammad. For you believers, for you believe, do you likewise, and salute him with a great salute. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. Kama salaita ala Ibrahim ala Ibrahim innaka Hamidum Majid. Allahumma barak ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Kama barakta ala Ibrahim ala Ibrahim fil alamin innaka Hamidum Majid. And that means, O Allah, exalt Muhammad and the family of Muhammad as you did exalt Abraham and his family. And O Allah, bless Muhammad and the family of Muhammad as you did bless Abraham and his family, for surely you are praised and magnified. Rabbana hab lana min azwajina wa dhurriyyatina qurrata a'yunin waj'alna lil muttaqina imama. Our Lord, give us wives and offspring, wives and children that will be a comfort to our eyes, and grant us the grace to lead the righteous. Rabbana aghfir lana dhunubana wa israfina fi amrina wa thabbit aqdamana wa ansurna ala al-qawmi al-kafirin. Our Lord, forgive us our sins and anything we may have done that transgressed our duty. Blot out our faults and establish our feet firmly, and give us strength against those who reject faith. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina adhabana. Our Lord, give us good in this world and good in the hereafter, and save us from the chastisement of the hellfire. Amen. Aqim as-salat, that means stand up to prayer. And when we stand up to prayer, we're going to line up straight and make sure there's no gaps in our line. And when you stand at the end of the line, you should be able to see one straight line with nobody sticking out or hanging back. So we're going to call what's called the iqamah, and the iqamah just means stand up to prayer. We already called the adhan, which was a call, a singing sound. That was telling everybody to come to the place where we're going to have the Jummah meeting today, the talk today that I just gave, or that the different leaders give all over the world. And but the iqamah is the one that tells everybody once they're gathered and after the talk is over to stand up and line up.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. Hayya ala salah, hayya ala salah. Hayya ala falah, hayya ala falah. Qad kamal as-salah, qad kamal as-salah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah.
Okay, so everybody's going to stand up and line up, and then we're going to make the Jummah prayer.
When we make the Jummah prayer, when we're all lined up, the leader, called the Imam, raises his hand to his ears, and he says, Allahu Akbar.
And everybody behind him says, Allahu Akbar. Then they don't say anything else, but he continues and says the words of prayer and praise that we practice and do as Muslims all the time.
Allahu Akbar. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. Maliki Yawmiddin. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Ihdina siratal mustaqim. Siratal ladhina an'amta 'alayhim ghayril maghdubi 'alayhim waladdallin. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat lin-nas. Ta'muruna bil ma'ruf wa tanhauna 'anil munkari wa tu'minuna billah. Wa la amana ahlu al-kitabi illa kana khayra lakum. Minhumul mu'minun wa aktharuhumul fasiqun. Allahu Akbar.
Sami'a Allahu liman hamida.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar.